Tonight, our learning is sponsored by Sandra Lehrer in memory of her father, Rav Yoshua ben Yosef Yasko, Zichrono Levracha, and by the Rotblatt and Dworkin families in memory of their grandmother, Tzvi Bas Natali Zev, Zichrono Levracha, and by David Wasatsky in memory of his father, Meir ben Yehuda Aryeh, Zichrono Levracha. Today, we're going to look at page Ayin Aleph. As we noted last week, and the week before that, the Ramchal, in this 11th chapter of the Mesilas Yesharim, goes through the character trait of Nikius, of what he calls cleanliness, and he discusses how this applies to a whole array of different mitzvos and how it applies in a whole array of different mitzvos. Last week we discussed the notion of ono'as dvarim, of just how to properly engage in respectful conversation and conduct with others, which, as we noted last week, seems rather intuitive, but increasingly has become non-intuitive in the world that we live in, that venerates, in which we in many ways live in an olam hafach, in which many values, Torah values, have lost their people have lost their intuitive appreciation for many Torah values. We were talking last week about the way social media has in many ways destroyed notions of respectful discourse between people, and how we live in a culture that venerates insults and disparaging comments and the like. And I think something similar in a very different way applies to the passage that we're going to talk about tonight, which is, we're on page Ayin Aleph in the Feldheim edition. And here the Ramchal talks about what he calls Hanhaga HaYeshara B'matan Eitza, proper ways to give advice to others. It seems like a bit of a strange issue to treat, but I think it touches on some very, very important themes. So let's take a look at that paragraph in the Mesilas Yesharim. It is the middle paragraph on page Ayin Aleph. Achzos hi chovas ha'adam hayashar. This is how a person should conduct themselves. Let's turn back one page to Ayin. That's where he begins his discussion of this. Be'inyin nesina sa'etza. It's the bottom paragraph of page Ayin. When it comes to giving advice, shaninu b'toras kohanim, we learned in the Medrash Toras Kohanim, v'lifnei iver lositein mikshol, lifnei suma badavar. He quotes, I think, what's a well-known limud on the pasuk lifnei iver lositein mechshol, which literally translates to "don't place before a stumbling block before a blind man." It means lifnei suma badavar. It doesn't mean someone who's literally blind, but figuratively blind. They don't understand something. They come to you seeking advice and guidance. Make sure that you give them proper guidance and don't mislead them in instance when they seek your counsel. Amar locha bas ploni mahi lekahuna al tomer lo ksheira v'hi eina ela psula. You have a kohen who's looking to find a good shidduch for himself, and he says, "Is this woman is she fitting for a kohen?" And you say yes, and you know that really she's not. You're just trying to lead somebody astray or something to that effect. Hayanotel lebecha eitza al titen lo eitza she'ena hogenes lo. If he asks your advice, don't give him advice that is not the appropriate, correct, and proper advice. And then he gives another example that I guess is already more tangible, but perhaps even more nefarious. Don't give somebody bad business advice in order to take advantage and really just benefit yourself. You're going to make yourself out as if you're giving somebody proper advice. Really, you're just looking to take advantage and you're looking to capitalize for yourself. Don't do that either. So that is clearly egregious and inappropriate conduct. He then, if you go back to the paragraph that I inadvertently started with, he then says as follows on page Ayin Aleph, middle paragraph. Achzos hi chovas ha'adam ha'yashar. But this is what a straight person should do. Kasher yavo ish lehesia etzbo. When somebody comes seeking counsel or advice, give them the same advice that you would give yourself. Were you in their shoes? Were you in their situation? You really need to try very hard to think only and exclusively about what is best for the person seeking your advice, rather than whatever biases you may have. You shouldn't be focused on any other ulterior motive or tangential benefit that you may have, whether it be an immediate tangential benefit or even something that's rachok, even something that's distant. He says, if the benefit is going to be something that has some loss to you, if you have skin in the game when somebody seeks your advice, either be transparent about it or recuse yourself. You don't have to give them advice. But if you realize you have skin in the game, make sure that you are cognizant of that. He says, except in rare circumstances where you need to divert somebody so that they don't do something damaging to themselves or some engage in some kind of inappropriate or damaging behavior, ordinarily speaking, you must seek to give them proper advice. Now, the notion that you shouldn't mislead someone overtly. Somebody seeks your business counsel or advice, and you give them lousy advice in order to make a profit for yourself, I think is rather intuitive. That is something that I don't think requires further elaboration. What strikes me here is the Ramchal's emphasis on how careful one needs to be to avoid any kind of not overt misleading, not overt trickery in which you deliberately lead someone astray, but any kind of subliminal biases that lie just underneath the surface that might lead you astray, that might lead you to send somebody in one direction or another that's not exclusively for their own benefit. He counsels how careful one needs to be about that as well, and he says in a situation where that occurs, either be transparent about it or don't offer advice at all. And once again, I think this is an area where that there's very little contemporary sensitivity. Let me start with an example where I do think that, an example that, in my mind, exemplifies to the nth degree what the Ramchal is talking about here. I remember when I was in yeshiva, I started learning in Har Tzion, in the Gush, and at the beginning, there was just an orientation. They're just trying to get all the students acclimated to the yeshiva, and they're explaining what the schedule is, and where the dorms are, and everything like that. So one of the things they were describing were different afternoon learning opportunities. There are different chugim, they call them, different classes that are offered in the afternoons, to expose you to different areas of Torah learning and to offer different opportunities. And the presenter at that point was Mori Varabi, one of my Rebbeim, who had and has a very fundamental influence on my life. Rav Daniel Schreiber was presenting. He gives a halacha chuv. He gives one of these classes on halacha. And he was presenting the chug options, the different options that were available. In particular, I remember him presenting his own. And Rabbi Menachem Liebtag, who gave a Tanakh, and still gives a Tanakh chug in the yeshiva. So he started by presenting Rabbi Liebtag's chug. And he spoke about it, how dazzling it is, and how remarkable his study of Tanakh is, and how he's going to open your eyes to things that you never saw before, and you're never going to be able to understand Tanakh in the same way. It's going to be mind-blowing. He goes on for 10 minutes about how great this chug is. And then he says, and then I offer halacha chug. He says, I really want to emphasize that, of course, my presentation here is biased. I have a negius because I'm here to I'm presenting my own class. And he spends 2 minutes presenting his halacha class, whereas he spent, again, 10 minutes glowingly talking about how wonderful the Tanakh chug is. And I remember how striking it was that here he was, he clearly was not in any inappropriate way advertising his own class as opposed to the other. If anything, it was the opposite. He was selling his own chug short by giving it a fraction of the time and energy and investment that he placed in the other one. And yet he still felt compelled to mention that, obviously, I have skin in the game here. So he just called it out. And I think it's important to do that in general. I could tell you that there were many instances when I would do the same thing, when yeshivas would contact me about a particular student. I'd say, look, I will sing the praises of the student in some instances. But in some instances, I said, I'll sing the praises of the student, but recognize that this is my Talmud. When it's your Talmud, you're obviously invested. And I think some people just don't have that basic sensitivity. I always tried to say, like, this is obviously a bit different for me. This is my own student. And that means something. I remember in the context of certain shiduchim, whether it be with congregants, I'm called as a reference very frequently for different shiduchim, whether it be for family members or for certain congregants. I would never tell people something that's not true, but I would say, like, this is so-and-so, she's my wife's cousin. I think she's unbelievable, and I'll tell you about how wonderful she is in a moment, but just recognize that it's a family member, so it's close to home. And I think calling out that personal negios, if you will, those instances where you have skin in the game, is important. The reason why I say that I think that's so forgotten is because we live in a world in which people just fail to examine their own biases. Nobody is interested in examining their own biases anymore. We look at data, the same set of facts, and we interpret it through a lens. Whatever that lens is, it's certainly true in the political arena. I think it's true in the arena of values and morals in general, that our basic, we can't even agree on basic interpretation of facts anymore because it is so colored and skewed by whatever underlying biases we have. And that's the framework through which we view everything. And I think we're so rarely nowadays taking moments to engage in self-reflection on where we're coming from, what our biases are, whether or not we have a particular skin in the game, whether that impacts our equation, whether or not. And we don't take those moments to engage in proper self-examination and reflection on the way we are viewing things. There's a halacha, there's a principle in halacha called nogea be'edos. If you are in some way related to a particular case, right? Again, in some way you have skin in the game, directly or indirectly, you are disqualified from testimony. You're not allowed to testify in a beis din, in a Jewish court of law. And what exactly the conceptual nature of that halachic principle is a very, very significant discussion in Shas. It's a very large sugya that spans multiple maseftos and the like. But I was always very fond of a line in the Rimi Gash, who says that nogeya be'edos is not a chashash yeshaker. Some rishonim say it's a concern you're going to lie because you have skin in the game. So maybe you'll just distort the truth and you'll deliberately and maliciously in a premeditated way distort the truth in order to serve your own aims, in order to serve your own benefits. And he says, no, that's not the issue. We trust that the average person is honest and is not looking to deliberately or overtly distort the truth. But rather, he says it's a concern of minta da'ate. Minta da'ate means you're not distorting anything. But your lens through which you see the events themselves is askew. We can't. You're just not looking at it as an objective bystander. And it's not that we have any concerns. We're not going to impugn your reliability or your honesty or integrity. But just you're not an objective bystander. The example that I used to give to my students when I was teaching the sugya is the bang bang plate at home plate, right? Where you have a throw to the catcher and the batter slides into home plate and everyone on the batting team immediately says safe and everyone on the fielding team immediately says out. And it's not because everybody's trying to lie. There's always one or two who are trying to lie, but most people are just seeing it through a particular lens. That's why the teammate call is such a big deal, right? When you're in elementary school, when somebody from one team acknowledges that the other team is right, people are intuiting this argument of the Rimi Gash, minta date, sometimes our lens is just askew. And I think when we are engaging in advising others or just engaged in trying to live a Torah true life, it is important to engage in moments of self-reflection and determine what our own internal biases for any variety of reasons based on our upbringing, based on where we live. It doesn't matter what they are. Always trying to interpret things from a Torah true standpoint, trying to divorce ourselves from those biases and determine whether they are Torah biases, non-Torah biases. Where are they coming from? Are they appropriate? Are they inappropriate? And trying to make sure that we are viewing the world through a morally, ethically, and most importantly, a Torah appropriate lens.